Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
But right now, he's a former Memphis basketball player who became an associate athletic director at Memphis. Currently, the athletic director at New Orleans. It's Tim Duncan. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Damn, it's Gary. How you doing, man?
Gary, I'm great, man. How about you?
Everything, you know, listen, we're in the middle of a pandemic and part of the country is burning down. But all things considered, like you take that, put it over here for a second. I'm holding up okay. I appreciate you. Asking before we get into the story you and your wife experienced, within the past few weeks, just in general, as an American, but not just an American, a Black American, watching everything that's happened in this country over the past 9 days or so, just share with me if you can your thoughts on these times we're experiencing right now.
Gary, I'm just tired, man. It's tough to be able to watch these things happen at any time. But then when you're secluded in the home, and that's pretty much all that they're showing, and then, you know, the high-profile nature of, you know, Ahmaud to Breonna Taylor to George Floyd, and it seems like back-to-back-to-back days, although it's, you know, actually been longer than that, man. I'm tired of these types of things happening, for no good reason at all. So I'd like for there to be change, and, I shared my story to help our student-athletes, and it's gone a lot broader than that, and if my story can help people, then that's awesome, and then it was worth it for sure.
I talked to Rhode Island coach David Cox earlier, over the weekend, and one of the things he told me, he said, when I watched that video, the first thing that goes through my mind is that could have been me. He said, because I'm a Black man, and that's what all Black men think when they watched the video of George Floyd dying. You think that could have been me. Is that the same thought, more or less, that goes through your mind as well?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I mean, we're taught from the time that we're kids, you know, we're given the talk, and that is, you know, how to act when you're police. And you probably received the talk, but the talk for you probably wasn't life or death. So we know that my parents told me, don't make sudden movements. Be differential. Say yes, sir. If they ask you to grab your license, you ask. You let them know it's in your wallet and ask, can you go there specifically to get your registration? Let them know if you're going into the glove box. Ask them those types of questions. And even in my story, you know, when they asked me to go in my pocket, I declined and asked the officer that was closest to do that for me.
Talking to Tim Duncan, former Memphis associate athletic director, now the athletic director at New Orleans. Let's get to your story. I'll let you tell it. It was 5 days before George Floyd was murdered in Minneapolis. You take it from there.
My wife and I my family stayed in Newton. So Newton is a suburb similar to Collierville, a Germantown. It's a suburb of Boston. It is round. It's not far from where Boston College is in Chestnut Hill. We were going to walk to Whole Foods. So you know what type of neighborhood it is if there's a Whole Foods there. So we were walking to Whole Foods to pick up a couple items. It's a beautiful afternoon day around this time. And we walked to the store, and then it felt like a coordinated attack. Two police cars came up from our left, one from the front and two from the right, or one from the right. I can't remember. I know it was four cars with six policemen, and one of them had a gun drawn directly at me and told me to put my hands up, told me and asked me where I lived, where was I going. You know, I answered their questions calmly. They asked me, did I have a gun? I said, no. They asked me to go in my pocket to get my ID, and I declined. I said, no, could this officer, and I didn't even point. I nodded my head because I didn't want to move at all. and said, can this officer grab it for me? And he did. He looked at my wallet. And what's interesting is he looked at my ID, but I could tell that they knew they had the wrong guy because my ID is a Louisiana ID. It's no longer the same ID that my wife has, who lived on Eddy Street, which was around the corner where we were coming from. So they apologized, said they had the wrong person, and then they had an African-American female detective, and she said they were looking for a certain murder suspect. So I said, well, are you looking for a 6'8 black guy? And she said, well, they said he was tall. Well, you know, and people always say they're tall, Gary, until they stand next to me, and then they realize that, you know, they're 6'1", and that's not very tall. So tall is relative to a whole bunch of folks. So that was the end of it. It probably lasted 5 minutes. It felt like 20 minutes when you're looking down the barrel of a gun, for sure. And then my wife and I kept, we started back. We walked through Whole Foods, came back. We immediately sat down and told our kids what happened. And my wife was quick to point out that, you know, your dad, they asked your dad to go in his pocket, and he did not. And that's, you have to think about that. So we talked to them about that. And then because, you know, this wasn't my first time being meeting over-aggressive law enforcement people, even on a routine traffic stop, so that wasn't the first time that they pulled guns, I compartmentalized that situation. And then 5 days later, George Floyd was killed. And, I was rightfully upset, but I didn't relate it back to my incident. And so one of my friends told me, Tim, you know that could have been you, someone I had shared that account with. And that's when I was like, why am I not upset about this? Why am I normalizing situations that shouldn't be normalized? Why am I justifying, actions that are overly aggressive because, you know, I fit the profile at all? I get it. They're looking for a murder suspect. And my wife's two favorite uncles are both retired policemen up in Michigan. So I respect them. I know they have a difficult job, but there had to be a different way to think, to find another murder suspect than, you know, run up on them in the middle, roll down on the middle of the street with guns drawn in the broad daylight in an affluent suburb, walking to Whole Foods. I just don't think that that's the way that it would have happened if, you know, the murder suspect was 5'9" and white. I don't think it would have happened that way. That's just my own opinion.
And when you say it could have been you, like it's not even hard to imagine how it could have been you. You ask, they ask for your ID, and you, within your rights, say, I'm not showing you my ID. I've done nothing wrong. Now you've got a confrontation. Where does that lead?
Right.
You reach into your pocket to get your ID. They think you're reaching for something. Now they've tackled
right.
you. They put you on the
right.
ground. I mean, these things always start out as small things, and then, boom, it's over.
And it escalates.
And it escalates very – it can escalate very quickly.
And Gary – It doesn't even end when you're subdued. It does not end when they have you cuffed on the ground in the middle of the street with two men holding your legs and one man with his knee on your neck. It doesn't end then when they clearly have the advantage for someone who had a fake $20 bill. Now, that's the whole point, Gary. So it doesn't end even if you happen to survive that initial encounter. You can still die in transit like that kid from Baltimore did when he died in transit on the van a few years ago, or just like George Floyd when they had him clearly subdued and murdered him right there in front of our face, in front of all of these witnesses. And then it took 4 days to bring charges. And they, of course, selected the least amount of charges to press on the guy. So, yeah, I mean, after thinking about it and relaying my incident to them and then to that one, yeah, I'm pissed, man. I'm not happy about that, for sure.
I'm talking to Tim Duncan. He's a former Memphis basketball player. He is now the athletic director at New Orleans. You mentioned that you're 6'8". I talked to Swing Cash yesterday, who works in New Orleans with the Pelicans.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, one of the points she had made is that, you know, she's a former WNBA player. She's tall. Her husband is 6'6". She has the cutest little baby boy right now named Saint. And the point that Swin made, and I want to make sure I'm being clear here, these are not my words. These are Swin's words. She's telling her own story about her own child. She said, one day my son, who is the cutest little boy in the world, is going to be a large black man, and he is going to be seen as a threat by some people. You are 6'8" and black. How much has that been an issue for you? As people see you as you are a college-educated, married father, a person who runs a Division I athletic department, and yet because you're 6'8", because of the color of your skin, at least the way Swin put it, you scare some people.
It's interesting because my the man I work for at Northeastern, he's a good friend, Jeff Konya. He's the AD there, and he's a pretty big man. He's about 6'2", 6'3", 250 or so, played college football at Princeton. He's the AD there. So he's the type that is very aggressive. So when something goes right, he's going to show his emotions in a way that, can intimidate a lot of people. So one day we were talking, he said, man, I don't understand how you remain so calm with some of these people because, we have some work to do with our staff. He said, man, I don't understand how you remain so calm. And I was like, Jeff, I'm a 6'8 black man. If I do what you did, it would come across totally different, and it wouldn't be perceived the same. And it would be difficult for me to maintain a career in any field, let alone this one, when there aren't very many African-American administrators, for me to progress and be and do what I do. And he said, man, I didn't even think about that, Tim. Damn, you're smart. I was like, dude, you don't have to think about that. And that's the difference. That's something that I have to think about because thought of as a threat. So when he was yelling at our communications guy for doing something that was clearly that he shouldn't have done, I handle the situation a lot differently. Not that I don't want to yell, or not that I'm not a calm person, but I have to be calm because it would be perceived differently. And if he gets on the lady that worked in development for us because she didn't do something that met his expectations, I wouldn't even think about raising my voice or speaking to her in a way that wasn't the utmost professional, with the utmost professionalism. And I have to get my point across using empathy, using logic, using rationale, and never emotion. So Swin is absolutely right. She's going to have a large human that's going to be looked at as a threat at some point in his life.
Talking to Tim Duncan, athletic director at New Orleans. The murder of George Floyd was, we've seen black men and women die at the hands of law enforcement officials on video for years now. Tamir Rice, the list is too long. Sadly,
right.
It's too long.
Right.
This one's different because there are certain segments of our population who will try to argue, well, Tamir Rice looked like he had a gun, or
right.
Philando Castile looked like he was reaching for a gun. This one is like it's 8 minutes and 46
right.
seconds. You're watching a white man, a white police officer with his foot on a black man's neck. The black man is begging for his life. Please, I can't breathe. Nothing happens. We watch him die, and the boots stay there for nearly another 3 minutes. There seems to be no way for anybody, even the people who usually try to rationalize these things, there's no way for them to rationalize this one, and it has undeniably led to a different moment in our country. Protest in every major city, protest around the world. It does feel like, and I don't want to be naive here, but it does feel like people who look like me, who don't normally listen, are at least trying to listen right now. Do you get that sense at all, that this is different than the other times?
Yeah, it feels different, but what I relate to, I read a post the other day that read, in our hometown of Memphis, Tennessee, when Dr. King was killed, there were riots and protests in 110 cities for 6 days. And after that, the Civil Rights Act of 1968 was passed that formally, ended Jim Crow for a lot of us. So if the horrific murder, because it was captured for the entire 8 minutes and 46 seconds or whatever it was, and because the officer, Derek Chauvin, casually had his hands in his freaking pockets while he's killing a man for the entire world to see. I hope that it is different, and I hope that real change does come before it. So this is not another senseless death. It won't bring him back for any means, but it can give his family some solace that they helped make change because of this. And that's what I'm hoping for, and that's what I'm wishing for. But, yeah, it does feel a little bit different. But so there's a new outrage. How long can the non-African-American America, white America, how long can they be outraged? Because, we're used to these things dying out. How long can we be outraged? How much fight is there in what people are now calling our allies? How much fight is there? That's the question, because these things aren't easy. Change isn't easy. And, yeah, this is the most recent. And we saw the entire murder on video. but I don't expect monumental change. And if that doesn't happen, you know, within the next week, what happens then? Does he just become another hashtag and another picture on the shirt that's ever growing with number of pictures? So, yeah, it does feel different for sure, and I'm very, very appreciative of that. But I want the fight to continue. I want real change to come out of this, and that's the reason why I released my video. I released it just for my student-athletes because I want them to learn. And as you already know, I'm very active on social media. I tweet. I'm on the gram. I'm on Facebook all the time. And our student athletes follow me and I follow them. So I wanted them to see it so I can talk to an African-American student athlete so they can know that, you know, your family members aren't the only ones that go through this. And for our non-African-American student athletes, yeah, this can happen in the most liberal city, in the most liberal state, the bluest state in the nation, to a man who lives in an affluent neighborhood, who has 2 degrees, who's your athletic director. It can happen to him, not someone who had a $20 fake bill or someone who's trying to sell loose cigarettes or a kid with a gun. This is someone that you can identify with every day. So that was a lesson that I wanted to be able to utilize with them. And we've had conversations with our students since this happened. But that's what this is all about. And that's what I wanted them to know. And it's gone, you know, to a place where I'm talking to people all over the country about it. And that was never the intent. But if that's what it takes to outrage people, because it's someone that, you know, the media perceives as different than some of the other hashtags that, you know, that were people, then again, I think in my instance, it's worth it.
I'm really glad you shared it. I'm glad you came here to talk about it because I do think that's an important point. Some people will try to be dismissive of certain people, George Floyd, because, you know, he doesn't have 2 degrees and he's not running an athletic department. But here you are, you know, a person who is, by any measuring stick, unbelievably successful, and yet still, you know, to some people, you don't look like you live any different life than George Floyd, you know?
Right.
And
I was going to say one thing, man. Sure. Even during the civil rights era, there had been many people who, in Montgomery, who sat down and were arrested before Rosa Parks. It was strategic that they rallied behind Rosa Parks because she was a secretary for the NAACP. She was well-spoken. She was just like, she was different than the other people who had stopped. So they actually waited until they got the right person that they can rally behind. And I'm not saying that I'm the right person by any means, but credibility goes a long way. People ask me, does it help you being a student athlete, being an athletic director? And I invariably tell them it gives me credibility with student athletes. They know that I've practiced, I've sweat, I've ridden buses, you know, I've gone to study hall, I've been disciplined for missing curfew, all the things that they go through, I've gone through. So the credibility, hopefully, that I a little bit that I bring will hopefully open the eyes of people that would have dismissed, that have dismissed many of the other people who have, you know, perished in the same way.
I hope so, too, and I think it does. That's Tim Duncan, athletic director at New Orleans, former Memphis basketball player, former associate athletic director at the University of Memphis. Tim, I couldn't be prouder of all of your success. I root from everybody from here, and you are one of the real great stories. I hate that you had to go through what you went through a few weeks ago, but I'm glad that you lived to share it and that you have shared it as well as you have. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Gary. And I always add, when you're talking about me, Melrose Golden Wildcat. That is one of the most things I'm proud of as well. So thank you so much, man. I love following you. You're my favorite writer, not just because you're a homeboy, because you're funny and you're really, really good at what you do. Thank you so much, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today.
Tim, that means a lot. Thank you. I'll see you soon. That's Tim Duncan.
All right, see you soon. Bye-bye.
Athletic director at the University of New Orleans.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.